Well, isn't it great to be in church today? Don't you love to go to church when you feel the excitement and anticipation of what the Lord will do? Say amen right there. And I want to welcome all the first-time visitors especially. You've got to come back now because you need to hear the pastor. Say amen right there. And he'll be preaching next Sunday, Lord's willing, and you'll want to hear him. And we're excited about what the Lord's doing. You know, I remember last year, Brother Billy may not remember, but he said, Brother Don, if you could come this week and not mind all the props and scaffolding and all the things we're doing. I said, no, I like that stuff. Anything that gives us a little change, that keeps us out of a rut, amen, I'm all for it. And if this reminds us of Jesus and His resurrection, hey, maybe we should leave it up all the time, amen. And I'm excited about your upcoming drama and all that you're doing. It's going to be fantastic. And Pastor said there will be over 2,500 people that'll watch this production. There's a lot of work going into it, and I'm really excited. So you want to keep that on your calendar and watch God do great and mighty things. And it is a joy to be back at Benson Grove, and we appreciate so much Pastor Billy and Regina. Aren't they great people of God? Let's give them a hand clap. Now, Sister Regina didn't tell me to say this, but March is traditionally Pastor's Wife Appreciation Month. What do you think about that? And I'd like to challenge the church, do some special things on purpose for your First Lady and her faithfulness to the Lord. Can someone say amen? I want you to turn your Bible this morning to Exodus chapter number 7. Exodus chapter number 7. I'll begin reading in verse number 1, and I'll read down through half of verse number 9. If you're wondering why I'll only read half of verse 9, you'll have to come back tonight to find out. I want to begin in Exodus 7, verse 1. Good to have my wife with me, Juanita. I believe this is her first time being here. She's had a terrible bout with a shoulder surgery and therapies from a bad car wreck, and she hadn't been able to travel with me for probably 2 or 3 years on long distance, but she's gotten past all that, and I'm glad to have her with me back on the road again. Amen. So I got to be on my best behavior, sure enough, with my wife here. All right. Exodus chapter 7, I believe we've all found our places. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 of Exodus chapter number 7. The Bible said, And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh, notice, shall not hearken unto you that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Verse 5, And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. Verse 7, And Moses was 80 years old. That's 80 years old. And Aaron 83 years old, that's 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Now notice the first half of verse number 9. This is our text. The Bible said, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, here's what he's going to say, Moses, show a miracle for you. Notice that. Show a miracle for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord. I thank you for this great crowd that's come. We've enjoyed the congregation singing. Lord, we've been blessed by the deacons that are prospective deacons that have come forth today. My, that's so exciting to see a church going forward. Then, Lord, we've enjoyed the choir and Brother Brad singing a special. Lord, it's already been good to be here. And now we sure do need some help as we look at this text today, because, Lord, we know without you we can do nothing. Help us here a few minutes, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here in Exodus chapter number 7, it's a monumental point in the history of the nation of Israel, because here in this chapter is the first time that Moses will appear before Pharaoh. We understand that God's people are in bondage, and we know the end of the story, that God ultimately used Moses to lead God's people out. But here's the beginning of that transaction, because here Moses is appearing before Pharaoh for the very first time. God gives Moses a heads up. He says, Moses, when you stand before Pharaoh, now you got to understand, Pharaoh is the most powerful man alive, the most powerful man on this planet, the equivalent of a United States president. That's who he's fixing to stand before. And God told Moses in this text, Moses, I want to give you a little heads up, because he's not going to believe that I am who you say I am. He's not going to believe you. He's not going to believe me. And what Pharaoh is going to say to you, Moses, you need to be ready for it. You need to buckle up. Because Moses, according to the Bible, is going to be required of Pharaoh in verse number 9 to show a miracle that God has done for him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I study the life of Pharaoh. He was a wicked, ungodly man. I can't find anything that he and I agree on, but I do agree with Pharaoh here. What Pharaoh is saying to Moses is this: if God is as real as you say, if this I am God is the real thing, Moses, you ought to be able to show a miracle that he's done for you. That's what he says in verse number 9. As much as I dislike Pharaoh, Brother Billy, I've got to agree. If God is as real as we say he is, if our God is the God of the ages like we say he is, we ought to be able to show a miracle that God has done for us. In the study of miracles, you may be surprised, the first time the word miracle is ever used in the Bible is in this text. It doesn't come out of the mouth of a godly man. It comes out of the mouth of an ungodly man, a man by the name of Pharaoh. Well, I can see Moses standing before this most powerful man in the world, and this most powerful man in the world has told Moses, hey, if God's real like you say, prove it. Show us a miracle that God's done for you. If you know anything about Moses, there's a lot of great miracles associated with Moses. We could talk about the opening of the Red Sea and God's people going through on dry ground, but we can't use that one because it ain't happened yet. We could talk about how God rained down manna from heaven and fed all the children of Israel every day for 40 years. But we can't use that one. It's not happened yet. Most of the exploits and the miracles of Moses happen after this time. But now Moses is put in a spot to tell of a miracle that God has done for him. This morning, I want to try to preach on the subject, show a miracle for you. If God is as real as we say, we ought to be able to prove it by what God has done for us. There are three major miracles that took place in the early life of Moses. And if God will be my helper today and tonight, I want to cover those three miracles. And if you're a child of God today, you'll be able to find yourself in those same miracles. Are y'all ready to take a peek at these miracles in the early life of Moses? Well, I see Moses clearing his throat, standing there anxious and nervous before the most powerful man in the world. And Moses says, Pharaoh, you want to see a miracle that God's done for Moses? You want to see something that God's done for me? Pharaoh, let me take you back to a place where I found safety in the bulrushes. Moses is 80 years old, but 80 years before this, if you know the story, Moses' mama prepared for him an ark and put him down in the Nile River. And Moses found safety down in those bulrushes. Now, friends, that's important. Do you realize that if you were to search the chronicles and the register of all the births during this time, that Moses is the only baby boy that was born during this time that survived? You see, every other baby boy that was born, as soon as they were born, they were thrown in the Nile River. They drowned and were devoured by crocodiles. Moses looks at this most powerful man in the world and said, hey, I'm the lone survivor. I'm the only one that ever went in that water and came back out alive. Moses had a miracle to share. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what a miracle is. You know, associated with our first miracle, I want to show you this morning three sets of hands that were at work in the preservation of Moses. And today, those same hands have been instrumental in getting us that are saved to the Lord Jesus Christ. And those same hands have been eventual for every person here that may not know the Lord as your personal Savior. This morning, I want to take a look at three sets of hands that made this miracle happen. He found safety in the bulrushes. Number one, there was a set of human hands. Did you know there were some human hands involved that preserved and protected Moses? It was the human hands of his godly mother. My, how we need in this generation some godly mothers, some godly grandmothers that are not afraid and not ashamed to get their little human hands involved in the preservation and the protection of their children and their grandchildren. Well, when Moses was born, his mama Jochebed, she saw all the chaos. She saw all the babies dying. She saw all the little boys drowning in the Nile River. And she said, I'm not going to let my boy drown. I'm not going to let my boy be eaten by crocodiles. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to use these hands that God has given me, and I'm going to make my little baby boy an ark. And you know that ark, she pitched it on the outside. It was leak-proof. She pitched it on the inside. It was leak-proof. And when Moses was just 3 months old. She put her baby boy down in that ark that she made. Can you imagine as she walks over to the Nile River? I can see tears dripping off her cheeks, landing on that little ark as she lays him in the water. You know what Moses' mama has done? She's done all she can do. She's done all that she can do. God give us some parents. God give us some grandparents to say, by the grace of God, I can't do everything, but I can do something, amen. And I want to do my part in salvaging my children and my grandchildren. Those little human hands, if you'll look back, how many of you know you're saved? Raise your hand. Woo, what a beautiful sight, Charles, that is. And I want to say to us today in the house of God, if you'll just think back, woo, if you'll just look back, you'll be able to find some human hands that God used to ultimately get you to Jesus Christ. It might have been a mama. It might have been a daddy. It might have been a friend. It might have been a brother or sister or co-worker. But how many of you remember the human hands that God put in your life that pointed you to Jesus Christ? Where would we be today without those that pointed us to the Lamb of God? I'm so thankful for those human hands. When I was just a few days old, my parents took me to church for the first time. I'm 61. That's been a long time ago. They say they carried me and laid me down on the altar of that little country church. And they told the pastor, here's our little baby, Don. We don't know if God could do anything with him. We don't know if God could use him. But we promised if God gave him to us, we'd give him back to him. And we brought our baby Don to the house of God. We're giving him back to the Lord today. Now I know that didn't save me, but it sure didn't hurt me none to have those kind of human hands working in my life. Thank God, mom and dad, you can make a difference. Thank God, grandpa and grandma, you can make a difference. Get those human hands involved in the preservation and the protection of your children. Can the church say amen? Whew, this is exciting. Moses has a miracle to tell. I'm the only boy that ever went in the Nile River that ever came back to tell about it. I am the only man in the nation of Israel that's 80 years old, because everybody else born during that time, they died. But I had a godly mama and I had a godly daddy. And my mama built me an ark of safety. And she laid me down in that same water where all the other little boys died. But God preserved me and God protected me because of those human hands. Can the church say amen? Amen. Now I've told you there were at least three sets of hands at work. Are y'all ready for the second set of hands? There was not only human hands involved, but there were some hidden hands involved. You see, the Nile River houses the most vicious, antagonistic crocodiles on the face of this earth. Crocodiles are some mean creatures. I've watched some videos of crocodiles attacking. It's amazing their aggression. It's amazing their ambush ability. And the crocodiles in the Nile River had become accustomed to the taste of them little baby boys. They knew how they smelled. They knew how they sounded. They knew how they tasted. Well, I can imagine as Mama lays Moses in that little ark and the crocodiles see what's a-going on and she lays that baby boy in that water. All at once, can you imagine, a big massive crocodile comes out in that water and goes underneath and hides himself as he approaches this little ark. You got to understand this about a crocodile. A human's bite, a normal average human could bite down 150 pounds per square inch into a piece of meat. But a crocodile has the strongest jaws, the strongest bite of all God's creation. A crocodile can bite down at 3,700 pounds per square inch. A crocodile could bite through this little ark just like you biting through a potato chip. And I can see that crocodile's coming. How many of you say this ain't looking too good for baby Moses? A crocodile is heading his way. I see that crocodile open those massive jaws, get ready to bite through this little ark that his mama made for him. But just before he gets there, the old crocodile bumps into something. I see him shake his old crocodile head, but he don't see nothing. I see him go around to the other side, make another approach. The same thing happens. He bumps into something, shakes his old crocodile head, but he don't see nothing. He comes in from the front. He comes in from the back, and he keeps bumping into something that he cannot see. I see him even making an approach, coming underneath, but the very same problem. He keeps bumping into something that he cannot see. He finally gives up. He can't get to that little ark. What's he bumping into? He's bumping into hidden hands of an almighty God. I want to say tonight, I'm thankful for the human hands in my life that preserved me and protected me. But they couldn't do it all, Brother Billy, because the devil was greater than the little hands that preserved me. But there were some hidden hands that were greater than the crocodiles. Aren't you glad for those places that God preserved you and protected you? In a crowd this big, I guarantee you, Charles, there's people in this room. You remember a night when you were in a bad place. They were pulling knives, drawing guns, blood was spilt, people died, but somehow, some way, you didn't know God, you didn't care about God, you didn't want God, you might have been cussing God, but there was a God that loved you. And before the devil could have his way in destroying your life, aren't you thankful there were some hidden hands of a holy God that protected you when you didn't even know that he was there? Some of you remember that night in that old car and it flipped end over end. You might have had drugs in your body. You might have had booze on your breath. You might have been doing things you had no business and running with a crowd that was ungodly. And when the state patrol got to the wreckage, he said no one could survive that. But you crawled out alive and God let you live. You know why God let you live? It was because of those hidden hands that protected you. You didn't understand it. You didn't know it. And you didn't care about God. It'll be a glad day, folks, When we knock off our halos a little bit and our angel wings and realize God did not start loving us when we started carrying a Bible. God didn't start loving us when we started going to church. God didn't start loving us when we tried to start doing better. You know when God started loving us? Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a God that can love a sinner. What a God that can love a blasphemer. What a God that can love a drunkard or a druggie. Aren't you glad that God loves sinners? And the only reason any of us survived, it was because of some hidden hands that we could not see. Whew, that's shouting ground right there. Oh yeah, get excited about Him loving you today with a Bible in your lap. But you ought to get double excited about Him loving you when you didn't have no Bible and you didn't have no church and you didn't have no relationship with God. What a wonderful God we serve. You know, in this story, Moses' older sister, Miriam, you see, when Mama laid him in that water, Miriam didn't go back home with Mama. She kind of laid back to see what would happen to her little baby brother. And I'm sure as the crocodiles tried to devour him, I can see Miriam praying, Lord, Lord, don't let them get my brother. And don't you see her smile as those crocodiles give up and they swim away? I say Miriam's having a good day about now, Brad. He has survived the water. He's not drowning. And thank God he survived the crocodiles. Boy, God's blessing my little brother. But then Miriam hears some movement. Somebody's coming down the path. And I see her veering in the distance. Who in the world could that be? And as they get closer, it's the worst possible person in the whole world that's coming. It's Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter has an inbred hatred for them little Jewish boys. I see Miriam's smile turn to tears again as she prays, Lord, here comes Pharaoh's daughter. Oh no, Lord, please, please don't let her see my little brother. But it's like she walks right straight to where Moses was, and she saw that little ark bopping in that water on the river's brink down there in the bulrushes. And she gets one of her servants to go fetch it. And she went down in that water, one of her servants, and I see Miriam back there. She's trembling, worried to death. Oh no. And about that time when they got the ark up to where Pharaoh's daughter was, she said, take the lid off of it. And when she took the lid off of it, there he was, 3-month-old baby Moses. The eyes of a woman full of bitterness, full of hatred, full of vengeance, full of wrath, is looking down at that baby boy. She could do one of two things right here. She could have reached down in that ark, grabbed him by the throat, and just choked his life out. How many of you know she could have done that, and she had that in her, buddy? Or she could have reached in that ark, grabbed him by his hip, drug him out, and just slung him out in that water and let him drown and die with the other little boys. Now, any of you that knew Mays Jackson, I heard Mays Jackson in person when I was a teenager. I was sitting in a service in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. at the Friendly Chapel Church where Don Collins was the pastor, and I heard Mays Jackson say this. He said that when Pharaoh's daughter saw little Moses down in that ark, God dispatched an angel, that's what May said, and pinched him, and he began to cry. Well, that sounds good to me. Why does that sound good to y'all? Needless to say, he did begin to cry. And you know what? That little crying baby, Sister Regina, touched the heart of that old wicked Pharaoh's daughter. And she didn't kill him. She didn't choke him. She didn't throw him out in that water. Now look, y'all might have a hard time swallowing this. I just believe the Bible. We've saw human hands. We saw that pretty clear. I believe we saw some hidden hands. But guess what kind of hands went down in that ark and brought up that boy? Some heathen's hands. Did you know that God can even use heathens to help preserve you and protect you? You may look back at your life. Somebody back there may have had your best interest at heart, but they were not a Christian. They didn't know the Lord. They were just heathens. But how many of you know God can use heathens' hands too? That heathen woman pulled up Moses out of that ark. Matter of fact, we've been calling him Moses, but he wasn't named Moses until then, because she said, I called him Moses because I drew him out of the water. Well, she's a-looking at that baby, and out yonder's Miriam. Miriam is cheering up now. She sees that Pharaoh's daughter is falling in love with her little brother. Miriam's a bright girl. You know what she does, Charles? She runs over to Pharaoh's daughter and said, hey, Miss Pharaoh's daughter, that's a pretty baby you got there. Looks like he's a handful. You know, I believe I could go back home to my people. I might could find somebody that would help you tend to him since he's such a handful, you know. And you know, Pharaoh's daughter looked at Miriam and said, girl, that's a great idea. Go back to your people and find somebody to help me tend to my baby Moses. I see Miriam taking off wide open. How many of you can see that? And then Pharaoh's daughter said, wait a minute, girl, wait a minute. And Miriam stops and turns around puzzled and says, hey, girl, if you find somebody that wants to tend to my baby, tell them I'll pay their wages. Tell them I'll put them on staff in Pharaoh's house. Tell them I'll put them on Pharaoh care, the best medical care there is in Egypt. Tell them I'll get them a 401k. Pharaoh's got the best. Tell them they can rock my baby in the best rocking chairs on earth. They can put my baby to bed in the best baby bed on earth. Folks, if this ain't a miracle, I don't know what a miracle is. Well, I see Miriam running in the house. There's Mama washing dishes. Mama's still thinking about Moses in that ark. And Miriam says, Mama, you ain't gonna believe what's happened. What happened, Miriam? I got you a job. I wasn't looking for no job. You're going to like this one, Mama. It pays good. You get to live in a mansion. You get to sleep in the best bed on earth. But guess what your job is? Tending to your own baby. Tending to little Moses. Pharaoh's daughter has told me to come get you and you can rock him. And you can nurse him. And you can take care of him. Can I get a witness if that's not a miracle? Tell me what a miracle is. Pharaoh, you want to see a miracle that God's done for Moses? I found safety in the bulrushes. I went in the same water that all those other baby boys died in. But I stand before you 80 years old. the only man alive this age from the nation of Israel. God did a miracle for me, Pharaoh. I found safety in the bulrushes. He did it with human hands. He did it with hidden hands. And he even used the heathen's hands to preserve me and to protect me. I don't know what this has meant to you today, but when I go back, before I knew Christ, all those places, he protected me. All those places, he preserved me. Have you ever thought about this? We could be in hell and been in hell for years. Been in hell for years and years. But aren't you glad we found safety in the bulrushes? If you're lost today without Christ, what God did for Moses, what God did for many in this congregation, God can do that for you today. God can save you by His grace. As we stand this morning with heads bowed, eyes closed, as our musicians come, preacher, if I can give a little invitation, would that be okay? Nobody's looking. I want to talk to Christians a minute. How many saints of God say, preacher, I identify with the preaching. I found safety. God protected me. God preserved me. God helped me to stay safe so I could ultimately come to Christ. Can I see your hands this morning? Are you thankful? Let's wave them a little bit. Man, that's something to be thankful for. You that's got your hands up today, I wonder if God spoke to your heart. You know, sometimes we got to be reminded of just how good that God's been to us. Just how merciful that God's been to us. Maybe you'd like to come around these altars and just, if nothing else, some are moving, that's great. Some are already here. Say, Lord, I just want to come and thank you for preserving me, for protecting me, for loving me when I was an old dirty sinner. If you're not able to kneel, just come stand. Some are doing that. That's fine. Come sit on the front row. That'll be fine. Folks are praying. One other proposition. In this house this morning, I wonder, is there somebody here today who would say, Brother Anderson, I've heard you preaching the Bible about this first miracle in the life of Moses. Preacher, I'm not saved. And I know God's preserved me and protected me and got me this far. But preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Could I see your hand? Preacher, I'm not saved. I won't embarrass you. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? We're going to pray as these are praying, as the altars are filled. I thank God for a miracle. The miracle of preservation. The miracle of protection. And as we pray, Father, you see all these that have come. Lord, you see every heart and every life. And Lord, as pastors coming in just a little bit, I pray you'll touch in the remainder of this invitation time. Lord, all that's accomplished, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray.